This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Paranormal Pets. My name is Brandi Stark and I am your host. And today we are talking with Linda Roberts, who is an animal communicator, a Reiki master teacher, and a contemporary shaman who enjoys helping both humans and animals to feel balanced and energized in their lives. So this will be a really exciting podcast. I always love speaking with communicators. Animals are so surprising, and pets, I think, are sometimes even more surprising when they tell us what they want or what you're doing that they don't like. So we are going to get started with her in just a moment.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, and welcome back. So today's guest is Linda Roberts, who was drawn to energy medicine basically 15 years ago to overcome her own health issues and the lingering digestive issues of her horse, Howie. And horses, they are incredible. They're very, very communicative. Linda's treatments are calm and soothing, often helping clients to release worn-out emotional patterns via a soul retrieval healing. Linda has been helping others to overcome anxiety, physical pain, stress, and release trauma for over 13 years. She offers in-person treatments as well as remote treatment. She enjoys riding horses, hiking, and meditating. She has two adult daughters and cares for two rescue dogs, two rescue cats, two parakeets, and her horse. And we always love animal rescuers on this show. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Brandi. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I was so excited when we got your email and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome, because some of the things you describe are right up my alley, especially the ghostly stuff. So we are going to get to that, but I sometimes like to start off a podcast with animal communication is very unusual. It's for some people. I mean, I've been around and I have seen it happen and it's amazing stuff. So sometimes it's good to start with a basic element, like how do animals communicate with you? I know some people talk about animals will project symbols or ideas, but everybody seems to have a little bit of a different interaction. So how do you communicate with animals and how do they communicate back?
Yeah, certainly. I'm happy to share that. It has evolved. So I taught myself how to do this 15 years ago because my horse was sick and 2 years of veterinary care and thousands of dollars down the drain and no results made me do this. So it was the love of my horse that helped me to do this. When I first started to communicate, I was meditating and I saw a vision of him and then I could hear his voice in my head. And then as I practiced over the years, I now get information from all six senses.
Oh, wow. And look at that. We already have animals communicating. Hold on here. Let me, I don't know what they think they see. Come on, Burr. Come on. Look at that. Oh my goodness. They are ready to communicate on this side. So it's interesting that you hear a voice. Okay, so it's more like, I don't want to say telepathy, but kind of like telepathy. So they're not projecting images, they really
get in.
Okay, and they're not just doing images, but they are doing complete thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the clairaudience, all the senses. I teach my students how to access all six of their senses and get messages from the animals. And some of our senses are stronger than others, just like we have dominant learning styles. As a former elementary school teacher, I know dominant learning styles. And so I cater my classes to people with different learning styles.
Oh, no, that is interesting. And that, as a fellow educator. I actually teach college student life skills every now and again. And so I certainly am on that same wavelength because people do interact with the world around them differently. And that's interesting. So for you then, a lot of it is also kind of the clear audience with the other senses, but very cool. Okay. I think you're one of the first to say that you get a voice rather than an image. And I like that. I know my pugs are talking to me all the time. And I'm sure they're like, come on, silly human. You're not getting it yet. Although I do get it. I just choose not to follow through on everything they want because it's usually spoilers rotten and spoilers more. But that's really, really, really fascinating. So what is a typical reading like for you? How does this work?
Yeah, so a typical reading is remotely done. So I usually call up the human and I make a connection with the animal. The animal is usually in the home of the human, or they could be at the barn if it's a livestock kind of animal. It's like a three-way conference call. So I'm talking with the animal in telepathy. And then I express what the animal has to share to the human. And then the human then says to me, you know, oh, well, let's try this. Let's see if that's going to work for them. And then I talk with the animal. And so we problem solve. We also, I specialize in behavior and health issues. As an empath, I'm like a medical intuitive. I feel pain from the animals. I get a lot of calls for end of life concerns and behavior concerns because I can feel what's going on with the animal and I can be their voice and their advocate to let their human know, hey, this is how they're feeling about, you know, the situation or about their health.
Okay, that is interesting. I've always believed that animals they're more cognizant, I think, than humans are, and perhaps more accepting of their own mortality. I've usually found that animals, I mean, among the other pets that I have, I do have pet rats, and I've talked about them on and off on the podcast, in part because I do a lot of rescue. In fact, all of my rats right now, of course, two rats for Border Rat Rescuers. But what's really interesting is that, you know, our cat folks say, I don't know how you have an animal that has such a short lifespan. And I'll have to say, well, you know, in the wild, rats only live 9 months to a year. I mean, they have a really high mortality rate. And as domestic pets, they live, you know, 2 to 4 years. But instead of focusing on the end, you know, what you try to do is you really focus on how they're living and how they're feeling and making sure that they are engaged and active and happy. And my girls in particular, I have one boy who lives by himself because otherwise I would have a bazillion rats. But I have 8 girls who are a colony. But I have watched generation after generation of girl take care of their elders. And I think you know, there's a wonderful understanding that comes from animals in that sense. And I've noticed that when I have colony, much more so than pairs or individual rats, the passings tend to be much more gentle. And I think it is hard because people become so attached to their pets. And I completely understand, but helping them pass over and doing so in a humane and gentle manner and with understanding and calmness is so important as well. So I admire you for working with people for that, because I think people get a lot of guilt over it. And of course, the other drawback to animals is that, you know, here we get to live, what are we at, 79 years or whatever humans get, you know, and pugs get on a good year, 18 or 15. And, you know, here we are, we're kind of left behind. So having somebody who can communicate that, and I have heard from so many that they do get pet owners who come to them after their pet has passed or they've been euthanized. And the pet usually says, yeah, you did the right thing. It's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. And, you know, the wonderful thing about having animals in our lives is they remind us to live in the present moment, to cherish every experience that we have on this beautiful planet.
And that's what I tell folks. I mean, it is so funny because, as I said, rats really live in the present moment. You wouldn't think so. I mean, people have such a bad view on rats, or many people do, but they are so happy. They're happy little creatures. And I will tell people, I have learned from my pets to live in the moment. I mean, it's very Tao in many ways because of the Taoist element that, you know, if you're a deer, you're not looking at your scheduler going, oh dear, I need to cross this road and go to this dream by 2 o'clock. You know, you're responding to the world around you in the present moment. And I think that's another really cool thing about having a pet and interacting with them. So Let me insert one more question here. You mentioned that teach these classes and that you learned this experience. So this isn't something that has to be from a lineage, or you don't have to have a genetic predisposition to it. It is something that all humans can do, correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's like deciding to learn a foreign language. You know, are you going to focus on it? Are you going to practice? Are you going to hone this ability? We're all born with it. And a lot of times as young children, we turn it off because we're not supported or we scared somebody. I know that was the case. I scared my parents with some of the things I was telling them and forecasting for them, which came true. And so we shut it off until we decided to turn it on again. And the love that I have for Howie allowed me to turn it on again. So yes, you just have to be really motivated to tap in.
I imagine so. All right. So because this is Paranormal Pets, because I'm a paranormal investigator when we're not doing all this other crazy stuff, I love that when you sent in a little bit of information, you talked about some good ghostly interactions. And one of them referenced a cat who was living in a haunted house who was not using his cat box. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. So a married couple contacted me. They had two cats, two rescue cats, and one of them just randomly started to not use the litter box. Well, it wasn't really random. And, you know, they're open to spiritual things and that, but it was during an equinox, which had a full moon paired with it. So when we have equinoxes and solstices and full moons, the veils are thinner, typically. So spirits can be felt or seen more readily. And this cat started to see spirits coming into the home and refused to use the litter box because he felt vulnerable to these spirits. These spirits weren't great. They weren't very nice. And he was afraid. So he would defecate under his parents' bed, the safest space in the house that he knew. And so, you know, I asked him, I go, why are you doing this? What are you seeing or sensing? And he showed me like this whole house full of spirits floating in and out, in and out, in and out. And I said to him, oh, well, let me suggest a home clearing and see what they have to say about that. And they were kind of sensitive to it. And they said, well, every once in a while, we feel spirits, you know, the humans do. But they didn't pick up on it as consistently as this cat. So I did a clearing and I found a portal in their backyard, which I was more than happy to change and shift so that it wouldn't hinder the safety of the people and the animals living around it. And, you know, it's because of the animals that I leaned into learning shamanism in healing spaces as well as people, because of all the spirits that the animals were seeing in the home and was causing disruption to the animals.
And that's really interesting, because when I do my paranormal investigations or ghost tours or I look into urban legends, one element of urban legend is, of course, the haunted bathroom. So here in St. Pete, we have something, St. Petersburg, Florida, we have something called Comfort Station Number 1, which was built in 1927. On the women's side, this very unusual public restroom, it's an octagonal, and I always love this, it's a Romanesque revival style bathroom from 1927, right? It made national news. But the women's side has Eloise or Eleanor, this 1930-esque ghost that will appear. The Palladium down here has a men's room that has a ghost. I mean, there are yokai stories in Japan about ghosts that approach you while you're in the bathroom. And it's interesting that you mentioned that the cat felt very vulnerable, because I've done potty paranormal presentations. And the interesting part is, of course, the vulnerability, that you are in a very vulnerable position. You know, it is biological. You have to do this, or if you don't do it, you will die, essentially. But it does mean that you are temporarily semi-incapacitated, right? I think that's interesting that the cat had that same sensation. Again, just kind of paralleling. And part of why I do this podcast is to discuss animal sentience, that, you know, the West is, we're catching up here in the West, but we're still a little bit slower on the uptake when it comes to animals and their intelligence. And it's always amazing to me to find those parallels. That's really cool. I feel bad for the cat, though. I mean, I totally get it. I mean, oh my gosh, you don't want to use the restroom, but you got to. Now, so, and when you talked about the energy, the portal. So for folks that don't know what a portal is, Because I know we have one in my art studio, but would you define a portal for us?
Yeah, a portal is like an energetic elevator for different spirits and beings to travel from realm to realm.
Yes.
So it's kind of like an elevator. So they can choose to get on and off at different realms, different frequencies. And so sometimes they decide to come off on the earthly realm and frequency for whatever reason, you know, memories or healings or giving messages to folks. I mean, there's just a thousand reasons why they exit here.
They're bored. They want to cause chaos. I mean, yeah, it is interesting. Very good. So closing the portal, or at least shifting that, aided the cat and the behavior stopped.
Correct. Yes. Happily it did.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
That's the thing you want to have happen, right?
Did it.
All right. Well, we're going to pause for just a second because we've got to support our podcast with some who advertise with us, but we will be right back after these messages. And I've got some more questions on the ghostly for you. So hang on and we'll be right back.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host,
Brandi Stark.
And welcome back. So Linda's been telling us about some of her interactions with animals in the ghostly. And we talked about a cat that was sensing ghosts. Now, I did have one other question. Did they have other pets there in the household?
They had two cats. They had two cats. So one cat was fine. The other cat was not happy with those spirits.
And that's really interesting as well, because it kind of fits with my pugs. I do have what I call paranormal pugs, and those are pugs that seem to be a little more intuitive and maybe more sensitive to what's going on in the world around us. And because I have a grumble, I usually have to select very carefully. And when the pugs go out, understand there are a lot of safety things that I am doing. I mean, they're not going to every case. They don't go to anything dark. But like, for example, they'll go to my studio, which I know is haunted. And it's always very interesting because I do see interactions from most of the pugs, but some seem to be more interactive than others, more attuned. So I appreciate that cat pair, the one that was really, you know, really attuned. The other one that's like, you know, whatever. That's a dead guy. We're going to keep going, you know, or maybe not even as sensitive or not as bothered by it. That's yet another thing that kind of ties into the individual personalities of pets and how they work with us. Now, you also mentioned working with animal spirits themselves, so animal ghosts. And those are one of my very favorite things. You mentioned another cat, I believe, that was a cat ghost. What was that about?
So there were, I had many instances of this, but this one in particular was a very well-bonded pair of rescue cats were, you know, living together, and then one passed away, but continued to visit energetically the other one because they were so bonded. It was such a loving thing to see play out. And their human was kind of aware of it, but kind of not. And so she called me up to have a reading to confirm what her senses were telling her. And she was spot on that, yes, this other cat was coming back to snuggle and to bond and to continue to love and support the existing living cat who it was really bonded with.
Aw. And that's another thing that is so interesting is I have had sibling pets, right? I actually do have sibling pets, or, you know, animals that are just really, really close. And it's neat, again, paralleling the human realm where the number one story that I get from folks are family coming through, usually parents show up all the time. Somebody has passed away, and usually a parent will make themselves known somehow, or a spouse. And it's kind of interesting when, again, that parallels in the animal world as well, where, you know, there is that interaction and that friendliness still going through, that they're bonded even after the worlds, you know, they're separated by the physicality and the spiritual in a way. God, that is really, really neat. Now, it's kind of, I'm assuming that when you deal with animal ghosts, they also are aware that they are deceived. I have found with
sometimes.
Okay. So some do not know that they passed on.
Right. Just like with human spirits. Some humans don't realize. And that's how we get earthbound spirits, because they don't realize that they have no more body. And so sometimes I have to delicately explain to an animal who is coming in ghost form that, you know, you don't have a body. You're not eating physically. You're not, you know, pooping or peeing. How about we get you to the light and get you, you know, reincarnated so you can have another life?
Okay. And so animals do reincarnate. I have again, one of my pugs. His name is Neoptolemus. And I am almost positive he is the reincarnation of a prior pug that I've had. He is incredibly intelligent, much more human. And I swear when I first got him, I thought he was a little boy in a pug's body. I mean, he was just like Dennis the Menace. It was incredible. So in your experience, animals do reincarnate.
Yes, absolutely. I see it all the time in clients. I actually had a really famous success story this summer with a kitten who had reincarnated and gave me all kinds of specific details about how her human was going to find her again. And it all played out. I was just blown away.
Oh, that's wild. It's kind of like the Dalai Lama who, when he is preparing to pass on, he will tell his disciples to look for these symbols. And so pets can do that too.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, the magic of telepathy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's great stuff. What about animals as spirit guides? Can they evolve upwards into something higher?
Yeah, I don't really see a hierarchy when you say upward in that respect. But you mean, can our own individual animals become an animal spirit guide?
Yeah, essentially. So yeah, I would just say maybe a slightly higher vibrational frequency with the spirit guide, right?
When we talk about power animals, like let's say a power animal of a horse, that is a collective of all the horses' energies who have ever been. So yes, if you have a horse who has passed, then and you have a power animal who is one of your spirit guides that is a horse, then yes, in a way that their energy would be paired with all of the energy of horses that are in this universe.
Oh, that's really wild. Okay. All right. So in that sense, then, the pet can almost become kind of like an avatar of that energy in a way.
Exactly.
Wow. That is neat. So I always love to ask these questions. These are my favorite questions. What is your favorite animal communication story? You've alluded to the kitten. I don't know if that's your favorite, but what is your favorite story to tell when it comes to this?
My favorite is a haunted house in the city of Chicago. I'm in the Chicago suburbs, but I had a client who called me up. Two cats, again. One cat was sleeping through the night. The other cat was waking up every hour, disturbing her human. She tried everything. Litter box, food, snuggles, nothing was working. So she found me and called me up. And so I was on the phone with her. She's in her home. I'm in mine. And the cat says, I cannot sleep. It is too restless. There are too many spirits here. And I said, oh, let me see what you see. So I got to look through that cat's eyes and see all the energies and all the spirits. Well, there were about 200 spirits floating through there. And I know it was crazy busy. And I said, well, no wonder. It's like Grand Central Station. And so I asked the human, I said, you know, how do you feel in the house? Are you spooked? Are you sensitive to things? And she's like, I can't go in the basement because when I do, the hair stands on the back of my head or my neck. And I said, oh, well, tell me more. And she's like, well, it's really cool because it's part of the Underground Railroad. We can see our neighbor's basement through our basement. And I was like, wow, there are all of these spirits still traveling through this portal that is physical as well as energetic. And so I did a home clearing and she had a good night's sleep for as long as that cat was alive. And she was just amazed. And there was a death. The person they bought the house from had died. He got drunk and fell down the stairs. It was an old Victorian. Yeah. So his spirit was still there. So, but after I did the clearing, she said all of that nonsense was gone and the cat slept peacefully. She slept peacefully and it was a happy ending.
Oh, and that's what you want. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What is the most unusual animal that you've communicated with? I think folks forget, like, hermit crabs have sentience and rats and hamsters, turtles, dragon, bearded dragons. What's the most unusual animal that you've gotten to communicate with?
You know, I used to have leopard geckos. I've talked with them many times. I rescued them. But one of my favorites that I think is unique is a red-tailed hawk. I used to care for her. She was being used at the local forest preserve for educational purposes. And so she actually broke the world's record for being the longest living domestic red-tailed hawk. She lived to be 33.
Wow.
And I was privileged to be able to feed her a couple times a week. And we had wonderful conversations over the 9 years that I did that. So speaking with a wild hawk who is semi-domesticated, I mean, he's still really wanted to escape and fly, even though she had an injured wing and she couldn't hunt for herself. But I'd say that's been my most exciting communication.
And then what was your most unusual message? Animals, I mean, they've got a sense of humor. You know it, I know it. They have to have a sense of humor to put up with their, you know, their humans. But what was one of the most unusual messages or one that really stood out to you over the past 15 years that you've done this?
One of the funny ones was a woman had hired me to do a reading for her and her dog. She and her fiance were breaking up. The fiance was more paired with the dog than with her, and she was concerned about that. And so she hired me to say, you know, I rescued her a couple years before he came into the picture, and now he's moving out and he's leaving, you know, is she going to be okay with me? And the dog's response was, well, yeah, I'm here to teach her healthy boundaries because she's a workaholic. She's actually a physician. She's a workaholic and she doesn't know how to balance her work life. So yes, I'm still here for her, even though I would like visitations with him, that I'm still here for you. So I thought that was a really sweet message.
That is really fun. I mean, that has to be an awkward situation too. But hey, I'm sure it happens. Now, if folks want to get a reading from you or they want to learn more about your master classes, what is coming up for you and how can they reach you?
Yeah, so coming up for me, I've got a class starting in January to learn how to be an animal communicator, starting from ground zero. So if you know nothing, or if you like to dabble with energy, I'd love to have you join that. And they can find information about that on my website. They can schedule a reading with me or learn more about my courses on my website, which is www.thewhispersoflove.com. And that is T-H-E, whispersoflove.com.
Well, this has been absolutely delightful. I very much have enjoyed talking with you and doing this interview. And I want to thank you very much for reaching out and for being on our podcast.
Well, thank you. I love talking about this.
Well, this year has been really unusual. And I am a little bit behind when it came to paranormal pets because I am in the area that was the eye of the cone for the hurricane. So we had both Helene and Milton who hit this general area. It was not a dead-on strike, but it was a pretty big clip for us here in St. Petersburg. So literally, I just did my last Halloween event because everything had to be rescheduled on Black Friday after Thanksgiving. So I am just delighted to have a great podcast to kind of help wrap up 2024. And we'll move into 2025 and hopefully, well, I don't know. 2025 is going to be an interesting time. But just a quick update for the spirits of St. Pete. We are still out and about. I have been doing second Wednesday haunted history tours for the St. Pete Museum of History, and tickets are available through their website, St. Pete Museum of History. We just finished the Rosa Park ghost tour, and actually we had an investigation where there were two dogs, and one of them was a protector slash sensitive, very sensitive to what was going on. Very exciting case. We hope to have that up and published in the next week or two on our website. And we are getting ready for Valentween 2025. So that is second Halloween in February. We always have an event at Art Lofts, which is my nice haunted studio. And this year it is the theme of Lovecraft, the craft of love. So please keep an eye out for that. We do have a website, a newsletter, if you would like to join. Just email admin@spiritsofstpete.com. It comes out monthly, and we tell you some of our paranormal experiences and updates. We'll update you on Paranormal Pet Podcast and our upcoming event. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening, for being a part of this. Don't forget to support your rescues and your local rescues. There are many animals out there in need of homes and good homes. So never let that go. Always go for the rescue. Otherwise, I'm going to wish you all a very happy Saturnalia, happy Yule, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate, may it be very, very positive. And let's try to make 2024 go out on a good note. And with that, happy hauntings and take care.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week only on PetLifeRadio.com.